Blog Talk Radio.
Looking for something different? Looking for something fun? Join Dan every Monday on the Freedomizer Network, 9 to 10:30 Pacific, noon to 1:30 Eastern, for Common Sense with the Educated Redneck, Dan Ellison. The show about everything and nothing at all.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Sometimes as a Christian, it can be really hard to continue to find joy in our daily disciplines, even in biblical word Bible study. Honestly, we know we're supposed to find joy in it and get growth. That's why I named my new show Dynamic Word Bible Studies, because studying the Word shouldn't leave you unchanged. It should provide dynamic growth through your life and the power of God encountered every day. I'm really excited to start this on Wednesdays from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio. We're going to start out with the book of Romans, one of the most important books to my early Christian walk. So whether you've been a Christian for a long time or you're just learning about Scripture, this is going to be a great place to learn what it was that Paul was trying to tell the Church of Romans and the things that are important to us still today. Again, join me every Wednesday from 9 to 10:30 right here on Freedomizer Radio for Dynamic Word Bible Studies.
Food waste is one of the most easily solvable problems, literally the low-hanging fruit of environmentalism. Pardon the pun, it's my job.
About 20% of all produce never makes it off the farm.
It's because they just look a little funny,
a little weird, but when you cut into it, it's perfectly good food.
It's just a total shame. It's totally good stuff.
We buy ugly produce directly from farms that often would go to waste because supermarkets won't buy it because of how it looks, and we deliver it to people's doors.
I
I didn't know that there was beauty standards for an apple.
This isn't that ugly at all. Like, that's the most common first box, like, complaint we get.
We change that. We educate people. We show them how amazing these fruits and vegetables are.
To have food delivered to your house.
Box of produce every week.
And it's more affordable.
At a very reasonable price.
Cheaper than the grocery store.
I spend a lot less time in grocery stores.
It's an adventure every time that you open your box.
High quality produce.
There's nothing wrong with the produce.
And they taste exactly the same, if not better.
Save those fruits and vegetables that get wasted every year.
And it's delivered to your door, like...
But why wouldn't you do?
Please go to our website, freedomizerradio.live, and sign up for Imperfect Foods today. Use our promo code and get money off your first order. Go ahead and get some organic and all-natural meats, dairy, snacks, breads, and non-GMO produce.
Hello, Freedomizers. I am Broccoli Man. When I am not fighting crime, I listen to the Proof Negative radio show.
I am the Wire Ripper. Not only do I forbid you to listen to Freedomizer Radio and the Proof Negative radio show, I am going to demand you wear a mask and get your naked body scan. We need to protect the One World Government. You getting the real information hurts a crime syndicate. Do not listen to Proof Negative. You must now disrobe this instant so I can check your person for a constitution or cash money.
Anyway, listen to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio. Weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. FreedomizerRadio.com.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Welcome to the Proof Negative Radio Show, right here on FreedomizerRadio.com. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Fight the new world order.
fight the new world order. Fight the new world order. Fight the new world order.
Radio. Of course, I'm your host, Proof Negative, the Big Kahuna here on Freedomizer. I want to thank everybody so much for finding us tonight. Today is Tuesday, which means that we'll have Heather Liberty joining us here in just a moment. We do have a guest tonight. We have Darcy Van Orden joining us again. I haven't had her in like a year. I figured it was time to bring her in. And we have you out there in Radio Land. If you want to be a part of the show, the number here is 319-527-6208. And just press lucky number 1 on your phone, and I will make it a point to bring you into the conversation. So, Heather, if you're out there listening, if you press 1, I can bring you in. I don't know if you're cursing out somebody or if you're on the golden throne or if you're chasing after your pet ferret. I wouldn't know. So when you press the 1 button, it makes it clear that you're ready, and you are. So thank you. So, Heather, welcome in.
Thank you. Welcome for having me tonight. I'm excited. Thank you.
So, what's the word on the street out there? Usually, we may engage in 5 or 6 minutes of small talk if needed before we get into something big. Darcy comes on at the top of the hour.
All right. Well, the word on the street is good things are happening in the midst of all the crazy. So.
Yeah, it looks like Davos is failing this weekend, so that's good.
Yeah, I think that's a fantastic thing to see on the headlines. So I'm not sure what the purpose of that is. I know that they were having quite a few, quote, elites, unquote, and it's nice to see something like that falling apart. I know that Soros has pulled out and Charles Schwab. So do we know why?
Well, they were both told that it's best that they don't attend because there's lots of protest.
All right. The world is
people know who Klaus Schwab and George Soros are now.
Yeah, I think that they've been brought to the spotlight. So I think that that's great. from the world standpoint, and that's great to see people protesting. I think that they've preached a lot of hate towards the world, and I think the world is ready for a stance.
Did you see who did a speech at Davos regarding disinformation?
I have not seen that as of yet.
Brian Stelter, the guy that got fired from CNN, is doing a speaking engagement at Davos for sharing fake news.
Nice. I think that's great. So it's funny how they determine what's fake and what's real. It seems to me like they are just a bunch of propaganda chefs.
Yeah, basically, if they have to spend money to convince the public that it's real, that's when you know it's not real.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, familiar with Axis Sally, but she was
no.
a propaganda chef for the Nazi Party, and she was a radio host that went on to spread disinformation. And so you look at our history and the facts from our history, there are people willing to put themselves on the line to go out there and spread propaganda and lies to manipulate the masses. And we would be foolish to believe that that would not happen today.
Oh, I learned something over the weekend, actually, that I had no idea that a lot of major news sources were using artificial intelligence to write news. Sorry if I took words out of your mouth or something. It got quiet.
I did. I'm actually whipping up some dinner and pulling that together. So I'm going to have my man take over here shortly. But, yeah, a lot of weird stuff coming on. And is that in regards to one of the articles that you sent me?
Oh, which one did you want to go over?
Okay, so we've got the Biden signs on the declaration. Let's see.
By the way, if you were just finishing up dinner, I may as well ask you while we're having a quick second. So what was for dinner tonight?
Okay, so it's just started. So it's been a long day for me. But we're doing a skirt steak street taco, and I typically do a raspberry chipotle steak taco, and then we do a cilantro lime honey with honey shrimp taco.
Okay.
It's pretty good. We'll do some rice.
Oh, I just did. I did roast beef in a crock pot with baked potatoes and a stir fried vegetable medley.
Ooh, that is one of my absolute favorites. I love crock pot beef. Love pot roast.
Okay. Well, that's what we did.
Yum. Well, next time you're up here, you've got to come join us.
Okay. Yeah, we have to find a halfway spot to meet, wherever that is. What would that be, like Moab or something?
Yeah, and in fact, I love Moab. I just got a Jeep to take down there, and I don't know if you've had a chance to really explore Moab, but it's one of my most favorite places in Utah to go visit.
I've never been. I've been to Enterprise and St. George, and that's about it.
Okay, well, definitely go to Moab. I think if we're going to meet up, it has to be Moab, and everybody has their own versions of Moab, and I have my own. And few people know this, but there is 10,000 years of Native American history in southern Utah.
Hmm. Okay.
And there are ruins and places that you can explore to get a taste of what our Native Americans live like and some of the vegetation that they ate on and how they stored their grain. It's pretty phenomenal.
So how far would Moab be from, like, Duck Creek?
Moab to Capitol Reef?
Duck Creek.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Duck Creek. Okay, so Duck Creek, I think, is by St. George, I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know the exact locations, but I think it's right around maybe north of Cedar City out there.
Right.
Never been.
Yes.
I've only seen. But I
okay.
think from Moab to Duck Creek, probably a couple hours.
Okay.
Maybe. I'd have to look.
All right,
yeah,
we've got to try and figure this out.
I wouldn't mind visiting Duck Creek. We went to Bryce Canyon last year.
Okay.
And that is another Southern Utah treasure that we absolutely love. I fell in love with Bryce Canyon last year. We hiked, what, 10 miles, maybe more? Yeah, we did it. 10 miles worth of hike. While we were in Bryce Canyon, and the kids actually tolerated it pretty well. So Fairyland Loop was the biggest trail that we took, and you're hiking all along these red spires. What are they called? These are spires. I don't know what they call them down there, but oh my gosh, it looked like we were. It felt like we were in outer space. The landscape was just so out of this world.
So when you bring up that there's 10,000 years of Native American artifacts there, it just makes you wonder how many times have globalists just decided to destroy civilization and make everybody invent things all over again?
Yeah, and people get pushed out from different reasons. It could be territorial fights or conflicts. It could be drought and even migration of animals and things like that. So there's a number of reasons. But you're right. One of the big issues that we have faced, you know, as humans is, you know, being pushed around by higher powers. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the World Economic Forum, I think we talked a little bit about it last week, if you remember, but the World Economic Forum has decided to present in a hearing Israel's occupation of Palestine. And so what that means is that the Jews may be vulnerable for another push around if that is presented. And then they find that the occupation is something that they can manipulate and force people out of that territory.
Well, Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, admitted recently that Israel, the citizens, have become guinea pigs for this new COVID stuff. And they are one of the most vaccinated people on the planet.
And that's true. They were one of the first countries to get their numbers up to, I believe it was like 75%. I remember watching the numbers grow, and I was horrified as I'm watching this because I felt like they had not learned from their history. So why is it that they're put into this vulnerable position? Is it the fluoride in the water? We all know that calcifies the pineal gland and makes people docile. So that's one thing that I'm going to work on fighting here in Utah is the addition to industrial grade fluoride that has traces of arsenic. And this is all on public record. You could request the records to see the testing. The chemical compounds of this industrial grade fluoride that's being pumped into two counties in Utah, that's Davis and Salt Lake. So kind of scary to think, and it's insane that people don't pay attention to these types of things and the effects of the chemicals all around us and what they do to our brains and the rest of our bodies.
Hey, speaking about that kind of stuff, let me show you this, because this just happened to go through my inbox here. Just one of my local friends said, "Proof, did you see this?" And so I didn't, and I figured, let me, because I just got it, I want to run with this now while it's on topic.
Fantastic news. So do you want to read the article headline?
Yeah. Yeah, so Elko County, which is way north Nevada, you're much closer to Elko than I am. They are considering banning COVIDs and flu vaccines.
Which is fantastic news.
So,
and quite alarming that they would take a stance to ban something that they were considering making
mandatory.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't think I'd ever see such a thing.
I knew that it was coming eventually. I felt like, you know, there was sufficient evidence with these doctors standing out against the COVID shots that I knew that eventually this would happen. If we look back and we research what happened during the swine flu, it was a big scare. The government pushed vaccines. People died from the vaccines, and there were lawsuits. And because of the statute of limitations, people weren't able to take part of the lawsuits because they came on too late. People weren't made aware that the vaccines were actually causing such detrimental health issues and even death. And so it's basically the same story, but a different time frame.
But if you read the article, you have John Carr, who is an Elko County Board of Health commissioner, says that this should have never been put on the agenda, and it was a miscommunication. So I don't know if they just found the one guy that's against it while everybody else is for it, but they found him. And so he's hoping that this does not come up.
Well, nobody really wants to discuss the repercussions of using a controversial medicine that's causing death and possibly a lot of athletes to have heart issues. I just recently spoke to a cardiologist just a few days ago, and I asked him, I was curious, of course, if, you know, a cardiologist in my presence, I'm going to ask the big question. I'm like, I can tell he was pretty uncomfortable, but I asked him, I said, have you seen an increase of heart issues? And he says, yes, Heather, and I'm also seeing them in young children. This is alarming. Something significant has changed in our, in the health industry, and that big change that's changed the status of all of our health, a healthy individual, is that COVID vaccine, and people don't want to talk about it. And I feel like maybe a lot of people who have taken the COVID, they're the ones in particular who want to avoid the conversation because they don't want to believe that they were coerced into taking something that could possibly be deadly.
Well, and also you have the kids that, and I don't know why this is, but the kids love wearing their scams.
Which is horrifying. It's a badge of honor for stupidity. And I feel like people are virtue signaling. They want to be, everybody wants to be the good guy. Nobody ever wants, everybody's always right, right? And so if you're in a position where...
This, Heather, because I know where we went through wearing scams more so than you guys did in Salt Lake City. But as far as I see, if I go to a store or a restaurant and I see a family, the mom and dad are not wearing scams, but if there's three kids, they're all wearing scams.
Wow.
And I don't know why it is that kids think they have to wear scams everywhere. I don't know if their parents are forcing them or they just do it because they love breathing in fibers and giving themselves stomach issues. I don't know.
We're seeing that in Utah as well. In fact, there'll be, yeah, parents are walking around even with jackets, and their kids will be walking around without a jacket. But it's the same thing with the masks. You know, these, I don't know if it's the kids' own agency and the parents aren't communicating properly with their children, the risks, or they just don't know the risks themselves, or they just don't think that they need to be protected. But it's, we don't see it a lot, but every once in a while we do see that one family, probably a small percent of families who are irresponsible with their children's health like that. And nobody's going to say it. I'll say it.
how the kids will wear scams and the parents don't.
Yeah, that's a bit ridiculous. And maybe it's because they're vaccinated and their children are not, and so they think that they're safe because they've been given bad information, which is a possibility. You never know. But I think that I hope to see people investigating this. I hope to see questionnaires sent out by organizations and gathering information on a massive scale and collecting the data for themselves, you know, that from people that are on the right side, to be able to take this information and log it, because if we don't start doing this pretty quickly and recording all of this stuff, it's going to be lost pretty quickly. And so, you know, I hope that somebody out there who, you know, loves research and has the means to do it, pull together some resources and start gathering data from a lot of these families who have taken the shot. And putting in their requesting Freedom of Information Act records in their local communities for different records, communications, and statistics. I'd like to see that. So, yeah, it's something that we definitely need. And we need people to start standing up. But a lot of people are in denial when it comes to the side effects. I've got family members who have taken it. And, you know, they're in la-la land. And they think that they're now able to be invincible. But the funny thing is the ones who have taken the vaccine, you know, taken the vaccine, the poke, they're the ones who get COVID the most. Well, I don't know if it's due to the faulty PCR test. We all know how effective they are, 65% ineffective is what's been recorded here in Utah by one of the manufacturers of the PCR test. So I just saw the link that you sent over. So Broccoli Man gas stoves featuring the wiretap. Fantastic. So,
yeah, I didn't know if we wanted to watch it just yet. I was sending it over, but we can watch it before Darcy gets in.
I love it. Let's do it.
All right. I don't know how many of the Broccoli Mans you've watched thus far. Hopefully they're okay.
I love it.
All right. So when you're ready.
I'm ready.
All right. We'll count it down. A 3, 2, 1, action.
Hold it right there, green dude. We need to take you in for questioning, sir.
What now do you want from me?
I heard you recently purchased a new gas stove, green dude. You just made a purchase that was highly racist and will soon be against the law.
Please explain how buying a stove is racist. It is a stove. It is what everyone cooks on.
When you use a gas stove, it is harmful to people of color. You are proving you hate black people by using a stove with gas hookups. You are aiding and abetting to climate change to all persons who are not white.
That sounds pretty suspect. How does it affect climate change but only to people with darker skin? Do you think I am a fool for believing in your cult?
Yes, sir. When a liberal stands up and decries something is racist, we must work right away to eradicate said item from Earth. By the way, what color was this stove you purchased illegally?
This was a legally purchased kitchen appliance at a major retailer. And even though it is not your business what kind of stove I bought, the stove color was white.
Aha, I knew it. Proving even more that you are extra dextra racist. You racist dolts and your white stoves. That is it, green dude. If you refuse to acknowledge other races besides you being white something that cur, I will be forced to run my hands through your long flowing mane.
Almost every restaurant in America has a gas stove. Most people in the USA have a gas stove. This includes all people regardless of the color of their skin. People just want food to be cooked correctly. No real human spends all day thinking about what race someone is. Do you really think when someone cooks food, they are thinking about hurting other races?
Absolutely, sir. You are proving this is a racist. Just for that racist outburst, I am now required to take it to Larkisha's Rib Shack and Greens. You will be eating gizzards, collard greens, and GMO rice. Also, just like a certain Clinton, you must also carry a bottle of hot sauce in your person.
How is eating at a Rib Shack going to prove I am not racist?
Plus, to prove you are a Democrat, you must walk in there with a bloody scam on that face.
Sorry. No can do. I will not put a scam on my face. That's gonna be a no for me, dog.
Sorry. You will do. You will put a bloody scam on that face. That's gonna be a yes for me, dog.
Look. I do not need to prove to anyone I am not a racist by eating at a Rib Shack and wear a scam.
You're by a snitch. You need to zip it. Zip it good. When a problem comes around, you must zip it. You must go into that Rib Shack with that scam on that face. Order your gizzards, greens, and eat the bugs. And you are required to apologize to the entire staff for being white.
Why do I have to apologize for being born with my skin I was born with? Only people that spend all day thinking about race are the racists. I love all people and believe in learning from all people.
If you're not a racist, then look me in the kumquats and say it right now as I remove my dungarees.
I am not going to look at your kumquats. Quit looking for excuses to make me look at your junk.
That was the wrong choice of words, says green dude. My ear canals are offended at what you just stated, sir. Shot to the heart. And you're too vain. You give love a bad name.
Okay, it was nice seeing you. Now I have to get back to work.
That is misinformation, sir. I have not released you from my custody yet, green dude. If you were not a racist, then why are you against millions of undocumented friends of Americans coming into our country and using our resources?
I am all for legal immigration. I am even okay with making it easier for people to come here. Legally. What I am not into is an illegal immigrant buffet. Guatemala's biggest export should not be Guatemalans.
That sounds completely racist to me, sir. Just for that racist and obnoxious outburst, I am now required to have you remove said dungarees right this instant. On the count of three, I need you to be placing those dungarees right there in front of my person. Then I will be inspecting those kumquats. I need to verify you're not hiding any assault rifles, any T-bone steaks, or any propane or propane accessories in your junk.
Why would I hide T-bone steaks inside my junk?
Sir, that is obvious. You could be marinating your steaks while hiding your carbon. You'll soon be counting your carbon credits. Your steaks would be enough carbon so that you cannot breathe for over 6 weeks. So it is obvious you will be hiding your meat products where you smuggle your plums. We also need to be placing a Lysnecker microchip inside your wrist. We are in need of doing high-tech surveillance on your person. You shall be coming with me to get your injection, sir.
It looks like I am going to have to get physical with not accepting this mark of the beast. While I am working, please check out the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time. He has great co-host, excellent guests, and shares all the news you need to know about so you can fight the new world order. Do not stand in line for food and get a microchip. The time to say no to the new world order is right now. Go to freedomizerradio.com and click on Listen Live. Look for the other shows on the network as well. But do check out the Proof Negative radio show.
Bad green dude. You keep stepping in it. Stop telling people to resist the microchip. We need everyone to eat said bugs and own said nothing. Keep watching Vomiting with the Stars and do not ever listen to the Proof Negative radio show. If you must watch news, then please do continue to listen to the fake news network. It costs us a lot of cash money to create news from our artificial intelligence. Do not accept real news from real peoples. You should only be listening to us. Now get out there and eat your beetle burgers, get that microchip, and most importantly, get your gene therapies and select a suicide pod.
All right, so that was an episode.
Oh my, okay, so this episode with him marinating his meat reminds me
yeah.
of Lady Gaga in 2010 wearing the meat dress. Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember that.
Don't wear meat. It makes you look crazy.
So, yeah, that's what the wiretap does.
Wiretap is nuts. I'm also that green guy. He's my guy. Broccoli man.
Yeah, you haven't seen liberal
yeah.
person or the factor yet.
Yeah, I need to sit down and watch some episodes. I am always so busy to even watch TV. It's really hard to get me to sit down, but I think that these episodes could probably tie me down for a little while.
All right, we got, let's see. I want to show you who liberal person is.
All right.
So let me... And Sumem, I should show you Sumem. We got time.
I'm ready.
So Sumem is super ultra Mega Extreme Mega Man.
Okay.
After branding people domestic terrorists because they're super, ultra, mega, extreme mega fans or whatever. So I created a superhero for that.
All right.
So that's Suman. I haven't made one of him in a while either. All right, let's play it if you're ready.
I am ready. You do the countdown.
All right, so 3, 2, 1, action.
Hey, broccoli person. I hate you so much. You are such an angry, mean-spirited person who gets involved in everyone's business. I am hoping so much you are taken to a FEMA camp for disinformation.
Hey, that's great. Keep eating your hater O's for breakfast. I came in here to buy gas. I do not remember asking you your opinions about the gas I put in my car.
I don't care if gas is $100 a gallon. It does not affect me. I take public transportation.
Really? How do you think high gas prices do not affect you? Have you not noticed the prices of everything in this store have tripled in the last 6 months?
Matt is racist. I am a vegan. All the meat prices do not affect me because I do not eat meat or dairy.
Is you serious right now? Gas is up over 400% in just the last 6 months. You don't think that trucks hauling the vegetables to the stores have to pay extra?
Why are you siding with broccoli person? Aren't you black? You are a race traitor for disrespecting Brandon. I hate you racists so much. I am so loving and liberal.
You for real right now? You a white liberal telling a black man he's racist against black people for telling you why your food prices is high?
I am not just a liberal. I am a non-binary trans vegan liberal that supports the current thing.
Look, I am not playing with you today. You liberals think my ID don't work because I'm not a raging communist like you. I hate wasting my time trying to argue and educate you fools.
You have an ID? But you are black.
What am I hearing right now? You don't think I can get identification because my skin color is darker than yours?
Well, there is no way you can be black. You did not vote for Brandon, so you ain't black. You are probably one of the management for the KKK party. You are a something ducker.
Ain't that something? A white liberal telling me, a black man, that I'm in the Klan. Do you think the Klan now is a diversity program?
You are not a man. Gender is illegal.
You don't know how bad I want to cuss you. I'll try it now. I will show you who is a man. But I am on the clock right now.
That's probably because they want you to testify about January 6th.
Look, you fool. I did not go to the Capitol. I was not in D.C. at the time. I was actually in SoCal working on arresting some Antifa thugs who were destroying buildings.
You are a liar. Antifa does not exist. Those were mostly peaceful protests. Even CNN said so. Any violence was by accident and was all Trump's fault. Besides, Black Lives Matter. If you do not support Black Lives Matter, then you ain't black. You are way too racist for me. People that hate black people need to be re-educated.
Do you even hear yourself right now? You is cray-cray.
It is people like you who support the January 6th prisoners is why inflation is so high right now. You and broccoli person think those terrorists should get a fair trial. You all support protesting.
You dud. You don't think people should be allowed to ask for a recount on a vote, which is totally 100% legal. But you are okay with what went on in Seattle, Portland, and all the other major cities.
Don't forget the black-on-black crime like in Chicago. You guys is also cool with standing in front of Supreme Court justices' houses with guns and denounce you are going to assassinate people for not voting for abortion.
That is different. Those are liberal causes. It is okay to threaten violence only if it helps liberals. Anyone who does not support communism needs to be killed so we can have communism and the population in this country. That is what Klaus Schwab, George Soros, and Bill Gates pay for. You dumb capitalist fools only think about yourselves. I am loving and liberal. If you were loving and liberal, you would support communism and Black Lives Matter. Michael Robinson Obama is a very nice lady.
So you're saying you support the 1% of the 1% that wants to give the earth over to Satan with nothing living on it?
Hey Sumam. Let's get out of here. We have to go pump gas and get back to work. One thing I have learned over the past couple years. Never ever argue with a communist liberal. They talk completely out of there, and they will just stand there disrespecting you until you leave. They refuse to have a conversation.
They don't even think right, bro. It's like they do not see their property taxes went up 10% with bad economic policies, and they want to blame everyone but the party.
If you property taxes go up like that, that is your fault. That does not affect me. I rent an apartment.
For real? Your rent won't go up?
If it does go up, it is because of people like you. You supported Trump and you did not get vaccinated against COVID. You also eat meat and are not gay. Plus you hate black people.
Please. Stop arguing with liberals. We have to learn how to cancel them and take back our country before we end up turning too far communist. Listen to the Proof Negative radio show. He is on weeknights 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. That is 6 to 9 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. He shares the latest in news against the globalists and promotes freedom. He has on great guests, excellent co-hosts, and you can even call in to talk to him. Go to freedomizerradio.com and press listen live. There are even other shows during the other time, so check the schedule. That is freedomizerradio.com.
I do not respect anyone that has a hole or a hole puncher. I am a non-binary trans vegan that supports drag queen story time. If you do not take your 5-year-old to a drag queen bar and let them dance naked in front of other gay and trans people, then we do not listen to a thing you say. We are so loving and liberal. You people that say you support freedom do not allow 5-year-olds to drink alcohol and let people smash dollar bills in their butts. Now if you don't mind, it is legal to pee now in public. You don't have to water to me anymore. I am going to pop a squat right here. Oh yeah, I almost forgot. You need more of these.
Wow.
Oh my god.
I hope that was it.
I am done with that episode.
What's that?
Said I am in love with that episode. That is so hilarious.
Oh.
Ooh, I love it. Yeah, that was fantastic. So yeah, you gotta send me the other ones you were talking to me about. That is great.
Well, they're all on Rumble. And you like how in the videos I put product placements for Freedomizer and Barefoot is Legal?
Okay, I'm gonna pop on there. Can't wait to see more. Right now in my kitchen,
yeah,
I am whipping up my...
Go ahead.
I'm just talking about whipping up my raspberry chipotle sauce for my tacos. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely heavenly. Okay.
Yeah, so there might be at least 100 by now. Of the Broccoli Man videos, so you could catch them all on Rumble out there, and they're all like between five and 8 or 9 minutes, and I just take whatever was popular that week and do something with it.
Fantastic. Well, we need more cartoons like this. I think it's absolutely fantastic how. With the cartoon, you can tell a story about the realities of the world around us and some of the craziness, because we're having a lot of conversations like that in our own lives, in our own world. And, yeah, I love it. Thank you for doing that. Grateful for people like you bringing that out into the light.
We need,
the craziness.
These videos need more watches, though. Believe it or not, this one only had how many hits? Let me, I don't even know how many. It had 25. That's it.
All right, well, we've got to change that. I can
it
help
needs,
share that.
It needs a few zeros behind it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that one was hilarious. That is one of my new favorite videos.
I love how a liberal person thinks that if the property taxes go up, my rent's not going to go up because I rent an apartment.
Which is absolutely insane. And then, you know, the vegan who doesn't believe that, you know, because they're vegan, the gas prices aren't affecting them. They ride a bus. The gas prices aren't affecting them. Our Utah transit system is mostly funded by Utah taxpayers, but they do get a small amount from the federal government. And it is through that small amount through the federal government, even if it's $5, it's subject to federal regulation. And those buses take gas just like any of our vehicles and just like all of the trucks and all of the big semis that transport our food. Costs go up. Guess what? The fees are all going to go up. And that's common sense. So it's funny that a lot of these leftists, it's like common sense is left their brain. And I'm not going to say that about all people who think, you know, the opposite of my political spectrum, because I know a lot of very brilliant liberals. But there are the few that make them all look bad. And a lot of those are the ones that are running our country and on the media. Like, they make everybody look bad. I think that's the problem with the party right now is you've got a few of these nimrods that are running the show that make the ones that are normal look bad. But we need the normal ones to stand up against us and help us and, you know, expose the craziness, you know, like people like Tulsi Gabbard and people who are leaving the party to stand up for what we used to have.
I don't think there's a such thing as a smart liberal anymore. And I hate saying it like that because I'm not a Republican per se. But those that vote for Brandon and Bernie Sanders and are totally clueless or they're making excuses about what's going on, there are people that are apolitical and they just check the Democrat box because they don't know. But for those out there that I've heard people say that it's okay for Brandon to, as a vice president, to have all these stashes of classified documents when he doesn't have the approval. And it's not okay for Trump, who has the approval, because, well, I like Brandon. I don't like Trump. Therefore, it's illegal for Trump to have it. Like you liking or not liking a political figure means that whatever they do is okay or not okay.
But that's the guidance system that we have in this country right now on that side of the political spectrum. And I think maybe more of us are like that. But when we like somebody, we're more likely to overlook their faults. And what I would like to see is more of these liberals paying attention to what's going on and how he communicates the things that come out of his mouth. That needs to be exposed. And that's one of the things
that
we need to share a lot of these videos, get it out, and expose some of the stupidity. Because, I mean, If you see that, I mean, how could you deny that we have
someone that's running our country that is incompetent.
Well, we Heather Darcy is here, but we have to take our time out first. So I'm going to just grab our commercials so we don't have to stop Darcy in mid-sentence and say we have to take a time out. So we're going to do that first. And we'll be back in just a few minutes here. So Darcy Van Orden on the other side. Stay tuned.
Please check out the Barefoot is Legal radio show right here on Saturdays, 1:30 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That is 10:30 a.m. to noon Pacific Time, as we show you all about your barefoot rights and living a barefoot lifestyle. And for more information about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal, please check out barefootislegal.org. Have you looked at the price of Bitcoin lately? Cryptocurrencies are the hottest financial investment right now. Well, what if you can get free Bitcoin fractions by having an app on your phone or PC? Introducing Lolly, a website that rewards you with free Bitcoin pieces with your online purchases. You purchase from one of thousands of companies like Chewy, Old Navy, Groupon, and others. You get a percent of your purchase back in Bitcoin. Use my link on freedomizerradio.live or find me on Facebook for your special link to get started. Lolly, earn free Bitcoin while you shop.
Freaks, outsiders, weirdos, the wallflowers, oddball loser, fish out of water, speak up, talk quieter. We are different. There's no arguing. It's a fact. A patchwork of flaws, we grow and adapt. We're funky, unconventional. See life through kaleidoscope eyes. In a field full of clovers, with our four leaves, we bask in the blue sky. Flaws are natural. Our imperfections, our weaknesses, our scars. There is a misfit in all of us. We just have to be brave enough to embrace who we are.
Hello everyone, I want to introduce you to our friends at Marty.com. At Marty, you can stock up on all your pantry items and other household items for way, way cheaper than traditional grocery stores. I like that most of the items are organic. Also, I really dig their 1 cent deal of the day. It changes every single day. I recently snagged a 10-ounce bag of dog treats for Chewbacca for a penny. Normally they sell on their site for $7.99. With the upcoming food shortages, this is my favorite place to stock up on canned goods. If you live in the mountain or Pacific time zones, you need to get with Marty.com, M-A-R-T-I-E.com. Look for our link on our FreedomizerRadio.com website and get a $10 free just because I told you to go there. Marty.com. Great deals, good feels.
Hello everyone. I am Broccoli Man. At night I fight for organic GMO-free food. During the day I fight crime against child trafficking. Please watch my story on rumble.com. Just look up Broccoli Man and you can see my regular run-ins and follies with G-Lobalist, the wiretap, the millennials, and everyone else I run into. I fight communists and very pro-free speech. Just check me out. Broccoli Man. On rumble.com.
Now, let's get back to the Proof Negative show here on freedomizerradio.com.
Joined by fellow Utah activist Darcy Orden, who's been no stranger to the show here. Darcy, I think I first had you on in like 2010 or 2011. It's been like 13 years.
Yeah, for sure. I know. It's been way, I knew it was way over a decade, so that's awesome. Really fun.
Yeah, we met not in person, although we threatened a few times, but we met because we both heavily supported Ron Paul at the time.
That's great. I know. That's where I've met like all some of my favorite activist friends across the country and across the world. So really awesome.
And now you get to meet Heather Liberty, who's in your city. And I looked and I saw both of you have like a lot of the same friends, but you guys never connected.
No, we'll have to meet now. So that'll definitely have to happen here in 2023. So it's good to get connected.
Absolutely. Likewise, Darcy. And a lot of stuff happening in Utah, and we definitely need to unite our teams, get out there on the battleground. It is going to be crazy this year.
Definitely.
Yeah, so what are you noticing, or what have you been getting into lately, Darcy? I know you said you've been dabbling in crypto a bit, and I'm just glad to see that my portfolio is starting to move again.
Yes, I'm happy to report. It's a good day to be talking about Bitcoin. Honestly, we're in a 14-day rally. So I don't know if you understand, but Bitcoin has gone up every day for the last 14 days. And that's a big deal. And tomorrow will mark the 15th day. If all goes well, it'll go up again. And the last time that happened, 15 days, was actually 2013. The last largest run where you had an increase every day was for 10 days back in 2017. So,
these aren't
really
like
positive.
Huge gains, but it's just consistent,
no.
Which is fine.
Well, yeah, these aren't huge gains, but then again, too, like almost like 0.7%. I mean, close to a percent just today. So, I mean, for me, I think there's a lot to be said here. These are exciting times. I know there's a lot of people who just decided crypto's done, but they haven't been at it that long. For us that have been around crypto for many years, we've seen these trends and cycles. I mean, I've been in crypto since 2014. So, you know, that's probably more veteran than most. I've been in crypto winters. I've experienced this. I've seen it happen. So you just kind of have to hold on and hodl, as we like to say in the crypto world. And it's just one of those things where it's not for the faint of heart. I only recommend people get into crypto if they actually study and understand the technology. You know, like, it's not for people who don't really understand and aren't willing to learn about it. So, but I've seen positive outcomes come out of these crypto winters. I think that Bitcoin is going to be, we're going to see major, major gains, not this year. Although there are some Bitcoin maximalists that want to predict a six-figure increase by the end of the year. I think realistically, we'll close out 2023 at like around 40,000, 45,000. We're currently today at about 21. So I'm predicting by the end of the year we will have doubled. But whereas looking forward, I think we're going to see huge gains at the end of 2024, but realistically 2025. So 2 years out. I would like to say we will be at six figures for sure and holding steady. So that's a good story. So to me, I always like to tell people, if you're into crypto, you buy on the dip. Like, this is considered a fire sale on crypto. Can it still drop?
See, I
yes,
kind of have a rule with my investing is that I don't you're never it just seems like you're never going to buy at the absolute lowest, but what I don't want to do is buy and then it goes down again. So if I see a slight run, even if I'm paying $19,000 instead of $16,000, I'm okay, because I just want to make sure it's not still sliding. So I know that if I put more into it now, it's going to be $20,000 or $21,000, and I'm okay with that, because it's showing that it's gaining, and it's not, oh man, I bought at $16,500 when if I would have bought tomorrow tomorrow's price would have been $15,300. So I'm not beating myself up over that.
If you're in it for the long term, you shouldn't beat yourself up for any of these fluctuations. The reality is it will likely drop again, but over time we're gaining. We're always gaining. So if you're in it for the long term, you just don't suffer these little things, and you realize that the number is that this is a deal. You realize if you really truly understand the tech, you realize this is a deal, and that when we're at six figures in 2 years from now, you're going to think you were silly to debate whether buying it at 19 or 16. You know, you should be buying at these numbers if you understand the tech.
I look at it this way, though, Darcy, and I don't know, Heather, I don't know if we've had that crypto conversation yet. Do you purchase?
You know, I am so old school, you guys. I am so ignorant when it comes to the whole crypto world. I'm one of those that are fighting the whole digital currency still. So you guys are going to educate me.
Well, I might be able to help you. So
tell me.
What I try to tell people, Darcy, I'm not trying to get people to put every last penny they have into this. But what I will say is that it is no secret that there's a global push to have what's called CBD. I always get that acronym wrong, but
CBDC.
Central bank. Yes.
Digital currency. Yeah. And I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to be the first to say that this is like CBDC is the ultimate, like it's the counterfeit, right? There's nothing, you couldn't even call it cryptocurrency because the key to cryptocurrency is it's decentralized. So it's a farce to say the Federal Reserve System is going to issue a coin and it's cryptocurrency. It's not crypto because it's completely decentralized. So to me, this is how they're trying to go after crypto and create their own counterfeit version of it. Because they realize how incredible cryptocurrency is and the fact that people can transact around the world beyond borders and they don't need permission from government to do so. And like no
so
matter
what I see based on the FedCoin or whatever you want to call it, is that Bitcoin is the arch rival of this, and there's going to be a time, and whether it's this year or next, where when Brandon or insert Democrat president here gets in trouble, they could blame the Russians, and they'll shut down the banking system for a month. India just did that recently. And,
exactly.
And then they'll come back and issue their state-run digital currency. So my point 100%. is that you at least want to put $100 into a cryptocurrency, because at least with $100 you could buy something that you need. You don't want to be stuck and only have FedCoin.
Exactly. What are you going to do if they've effectively shut down all your debit cards and your credit cards and nobody's transacting with the banking system? What are you going to do?
Because I promise you, somebody will take a Bitcoin somewhere.
Oh, absolutely they will. And even think about it this way. Well, I know people still try, concerted people that are trying to, you know, transact in cash. Well, the banks at the same time, they're trying to limit your access to your cash. If you notice, they keep reducing the amount of money you could take out on a daily basis. They're watching that closely. If you start taking out a lot of money, they're going to have a problem with it. So we watch around the world, and let's pay close attention to what banks are doing all around the world, because I just see that as it hasn't happened here yet, but it's coming.
Yeah, they're not testing
these. I think a lot of us
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Well, yeah, all the major banks like Bank of America, Shitty Bank, and all of them were doing their 12-week test of cryptos.
Oh, yeah.
Or not cryptos, but the FedCoin, digital currency.
Yeah, so be concerned about that, and just know that it is the counterfeit. It's not cryptocurrency. If you want to stay, like with the safest coins, you pretty much stick with, Bitcoin, Ethereum, Litecoin. So your top 10 cryptos, you're gonna be sitting pretty.
Well, yeah, I've diversified. I think right now I have 50. Oh, look, right now I use Coinbase, by the way, and
okay,
I have 52% in Bitcoin, and then everything else I mess around with. I got 20% in Ethereum, and then I just move around based on whatever cryptos I like at the time. It's like day trading for stocks, kind of.
Yeah, there is an element of that, but to me, I'm most interested in the coins that I look at is like their utility, right? So, I love, Solana and, some of the others that, have smart contract capability, NFT capability, looking at, what their utility is and the kind of projects and who's building on them. To me, that's really the ones that I study and want to focus on and I'm watching be successful.
See, on Coinbase, they have some that offer APR. Like, if you put $100 in your bank, you might get 0.03% interest. Whereas, I'm just picking one here. I'm just reading Algorand gives you 5.75% annual percentage rate.
There you go.
So, your bank isn't doing that.
Not. I'm like, good luck with that. I mean, where are we at with everybody? This is the thing. Inflation, we're what, at 10% if we're being conservative? What I have to explain to people is they tell me, I talked to a guy and I'm like, well, what would you do with $1 million? And he's like, oh, I would put it in a CD at 5%. And I'm like, inflation's 10%. Like, how does that make any sense? How does it make any sense to you? And he was serious. I mean, obviously he's a much older gentleman and in his mind, that's the only thing he knew to do. And I'm like, the reality is, if we're being conservative, inflation is like 10% minimum, but I believe it to be much higher than that. The way I see cryptocurrency, it's a deflationary coin. It's the only thing that's going up when your dollar is...
If he was in his 70s and he got $1 million, that's probably all he needs to do because the expectancy rate, he'll live, what, another 10, 15 years?
Sure. If you're putting it like that, but I'm just saying from a standpoint of how are you going to best maximize your dollars, I'm just kind of
right.
Looking at them cross-eyed, like that makes zero sense. So to me, cryptocurrency is a deflationary coin. It's the only hedge you have against the quantitative easing of the Federal Reserve and the fact that we're losing all the buying power of the U.S. dollar every single day. Inflation is the greatest tax of all, and government's benefiting, and we're all just suffering, and we're watching the middle class become the lower class, and, America, it's just we're watching everybody at the gas pump and food and everything else. Everybody is just losing all of anything they've ever saved.
Well, they really like this agenda, the World Economic Forum. Where by 2030 you'll own nothing, and you'll like it.
And my response to that is we are gonna create a 2030 manifesto where everybody's gonna be a farmer, and they're gonna trade with their neighbors. So everybody needs to buck up, and we're gonna buy land, and we're gonna work together, and we're gonna.
You know what's funny is that my neighbor. And I have a tower garden. He does container gardening. And when we have stuff blooming, we'll knock on each other's doors and just offer some stuff.
And that's how it's supposed to be. The best way to do it is within the community. And so we're
like,
happy
I'll
together.
Like, I'll his chart I'm growing, and he'll bring back some Thai basil.
See, I love that.
Ooh,
so that's the model. That's the yeah.
What's
exactly.
That?
You have some Thai basil chicken.
Yeah.
No, that's one of my favorites, and I'm right there on board. We've got groups already forming that are working on trade and food. We've got an organization called the Utah Food and Trade Organization, and we're already listing different trades and trading or selling food. So it's in the works.
I love that. See, that's what we need. And we need the communities to come together. You should know your neighbors. You should know people who are like-minded you and work together to figure out what we can do as a team. The more people we get minds together, that's how we solve these problems. And we don't sit paralyzed in a state of fear. And I'm just saying there's more of us than there are of them. And I'm just not having it. That's not part of my reality. I won't be controlled by anybody.
I love it. Amen, sister. I'm right there with you. I'm on that team.
So there you go. When you
see,
take
Darcy,
action.
When I interviewed Heather a couple weeks ago for the co-host spot, just right in my head when talking to her, it's like I have to have her meet Darcy because I think you two speak the same language.
I love that. We got to get together, Heather. Let's do lunch soon.
Well, let's do it. I love your brain, and I love your knowledge with cryptocurrency. And for people like me who are on such an elementary level when it comes to crypto, I think education is key. And I think it would be great to get that knowledge base out there. I've got a lot of questions. I know a lot of other people do. So having a lot of these questions, even on the air, I think it would be great maybe, you know, to pick your brain maybe do a Q&A.
I'm a subject matter expert, too. I'm no slouch, I promise.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. So I just think it's one of those things. I don't encourage people to just go blindly, you know, make purchases. I think if you're willing to study it, just like anything else, it's like if you were going to buy stock, hopefully you're going to study up and, you know, have knowledge of it and believe in the products and companies that you're going to be investing in. You got to do the same thing with crypto. But I think there's a lot of things that go beyond crypto that are fun to talk about. You know, at Web3, how I think that's changing the world. I think we have an opportunity for
next.
What is that?
I said that's next. I'm looking right at I'm on the Coinbase website, and it says Web3, and then it says new right next to it.
Yeah, so we have coming in the future, you know, metaverses. We have the opportunity to purchase digital real estate. So I work in that space, digital real estate. You know, as well as, you know, physical real estate in exchange for crypto. You know, that's a space I've been playing in for a number of years. But, you know, I think there's big opportunities for people to invest. Digital real estate, you know, there's NFTs, you know, there's the metaverse coming and everything else. So I just think that there's more ways for people to innovate and be part of, I would say, a movement of people who want to kind of control their lives. And, you know, in their destinies as a medium through Web3, it goes well beyond crypto. So to me, blockchain is for sure the future where we can find a lot of solutions for our everyday problems. And that's the technology behind crypto. So to me, the bigger
One thing, Darcy, I've never played with is I've never gone to the exchanges. I'm not paying gas fees. I'm not putting money into Sam Bankman-Fried and giving FTX any money. I'm just one of those people. I'll stick on Coinbase and that's it.
So, but if your wallet gets big enough, then I would recommend you want to transfer your crypto onto a hard wallet.
Yeah, you
want
to get a cold wallet. This way you can store just in case something happens to Coinbase that you're not losing your money.
Exactly, because remember this, if it's not your keys, it's not your crypto. So if Coinbase holds the keys, then you don't really own it. So just keep that in mind. You definitely want to be on a cold wallet and that type of thing. But like I said, baby steps. For a lot of people, it's just their first intro in. But just realize that just to demystify the, you know, how a lot of people think it's really difficult to buy crypto. It's not, because you've got apps now where you can buy them on even like Venmo and PayPal, you know, Cash App, you know, all of those, they make it really easy. Now, would I recommend, like, you know, purchasing a lot there? No. I mean, you want to definitely, if you do, purchase and transfer out. But the point is that you could, in 30 seconds, because most people already have an account in those places, you could buy crypto right now in like 30 seconds or less.
Yeah, so my recommendation, like I said, I would throw $100 in, put half of it to start with in Bitcoin, and then learn about some of the other cryptocurrencies. And one of the good things about Coinbase is that when there's new cryptos that they sponsor on there and let you purchase, they will have an opportunity for you to, if you want to take a few seconds and learn, they'll give you $3, $5, or $7 American of that particular crypto just for learning about it. So yeah, I'll read three paragraphs and answer a couple of questions, and then they can kick me down $8 of US in whatever crypto it is. I don't care. And I get to learn about what they do.
Yes, absolutely. So, like, do your homework. I would say one of the best places I recommend people go is actually listening to podcasts. I think if you want to start learning about crypto, just decide every day for 20 minutes you're going to set aside some time to listen to podcasts. And it's just as simple. Go on to you're on your smartphone, on your podcast app. You've got tons of cryptocurrency podcasts, everything. You know, some of the bigger ones, more known ones, you know, Unchained, Unconfirmed, you know, the Bad Crypto Podcast, Crypto 101. You know, started some of the more, you know, like Crypto Dead, The Pomp, you know, Bankless, Token Metrics, all of these. Just spend a little bit of your time every day, start listening to podcasts, and I would say that's where people want to start to try to start to learn, understand, and then over time you're going to feel more comfortable as you're starting to understand how it all works.
So, Darcy, one of my first forays into investing, actually my very first one, and this one kind of flies under the radar, but I've been involved in the baseball card market since I was like 10.
Oh, wow.
So I've learned over the years that I've had stuff where, for example, I was just I used to own a baseball card store, and just messing around. In 2004, I opened up just a random pack of cards in my store, and I pulled a LeBron James Chrome rookie card that's now worth $4,000.
Awesome!
Wow, that is fantastic.
Well, And you know that you bring up baseball cards. What I like to compare NFTs to, NFTs basically are digital baseball cards, and each one's different. And it'll be marked, you know, by its ownership and timestamped and everything else. But that's how you can best think of baseball cards and help you understand the reference of NFTs.
And those are the kinds of things that help us understand those types of things is, you know, likening it to something that's familiar and letting us know where we go. I mean, what are the trusted sources for purchasing crypto?
For the purchase of crypto, I would recommend, like, you know, your top exchanges. So Binance is the largest exchange in the world. I would definitely recommend that, you know. Of course, you know, as you mentioned, he's on Coinbase. That's another great place for purchase. But like I said, it's one of those things where you if you purchase in a sizable amount, you want to get that onto a cold wallet as soon as possible. But I would definitely recommend sticking with the large exchanges. Don't fall for, you know, like you've got people on social media adding you on Instagram and messaging you and tell you they're going to make you a lot of money and, you know, in crypto, don't ever do any of that. You're going to buy it on a formal exchange. You know, stick with the top ones, and that's where you're going to be safe. As far
well,
as
especially
like
now, since you have to declare, on your taxes if you own crypto now. So, the top three are in no particular order are Binance, Kraken, and Coinbase. So as long as you're on one of those three, you're generally safe.
And I would also recommend Gemini. Gemini is another great one. So I would stick with those top four, and you're gonna be golden. But like I said, eventually, you know, you get a sizable amount of money on there. I mean, if you've got $100, I mean, who cares? But if you're buying, investing quite a bit, then definitely get it onto a cold wallet, because like I said, not your keys, not your crypto. But you know, that's where a great place to start, one of those exchanges. If you're talking about the purchase of, the digital, NFTs, you're looking at like OpenSea is probably one of the most common, or Solana Art, one of the most common marketplaces for the purchase of NFTs. Binance also has an NFT marketplace as well. So those would be reputable places to look at the purchase of that. If you're looking at, potentially wanting to buy even digital.
On Thursdays, my co-host V and I, we do at least a half hour on our show discussing crypto news.
Oh, awesome. So I would just say, if you're looking at potentially buying digital real estate, I would stick to, Decentraland is a metaverse, and then the Sandbox. Those are the two biggest market cap-wise metaverses. And people have invested a lot. You would be shocked. Back in the fall of 2021, the largest land purchase by the Metaverse Group, they purchased 116 parcels of real estate on Decentraland, what they call their fashion district, for about almost $2.5 million. And so that's digital real estate. That's real estate in the metaverse. So I'm just telling you, as we look around, Utah has gone up significantly for real estate. I feel like our children won't be able to buy real estate. I'm like, their best hope is to, invest into some maybe digital real estate, watch it go up, make some money, and eventually in time, hopefully, be able to buy real estate in Utah and other places. So
Darcy,
if we can go backward here, the one thing that worries me about this whole Fed coin and the digital currency and banning cash is that a couple things. One, there'll be negative interest rates on your bank account, which means that you get to pay to have a bank account that's run by the Federales. And two,
yeah, isn't that disgusting?
They're going to put an expiry date on your money so that you cannot build wealth. You must spend it.
And that's why you have no other option but to embrace crypto, because in the future, that's going to be the only way you could effectively buy or build your wealth.
So when you're looking at crypto, you want to make sure that it's decentralized. You don't want a centralized one, because decentralized means that there's no trace of who owns it.
Yeah, literally, when people always talk like, oh my gosh, what if they could hack, Bitcoin? I'm like, well, first of all, they've never hacked Bitcoin. Bitcoin was launched in 2009. It's never been hacked. It's impossible. It is the largest network of nodes of computers and the largest amount of computing power that exists in the world. And it's all decentralized. It's impossible. It's literally impossible. People always like try to figure out like if that could happen. I'm like, no, it can't. It's all separate people spread across the world. There's no way. It would be impossible for them to get together and do this. So it's just something worth studying, just so you understand it better.
By the way, Darcy, how's your nonprofit running?
We're all voluntary. We assist where we can. We're helping some people that are right now been unjustly served by the criminal justice system, and we're helping them, try to get kind of assistance where they've been wronged, and so trying to help them get kind of settlements from the state and other things. So that's been positive. We still continue our work to repeal the death penalty. That's something that we're is always happening in the works, and slowly, working on our members of our legislature to see that happen and come to fruition one day. We definitely knew that this was going to be a long-term plan and strategy that would take years and years to get there. And but I do feel positive that we have the interest and we have the support vote-wise. It's just really a question of, can we get leadership on board? Because basically that's who's been blocking getting this bill out of rule.
So can you fire off your website for everybody to check out?
Yes, please check us out. We are the Utah Justice Coalition. And if you go online, you can go to UT as in Utah, JC as in Justice Coalition, and check us out, utjc.org.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to make sure that you're promoting, because if you're not promoting your website on a radio show, then what good is it for you to come on the show? So
for sure,
I want to do my part to help you.
I appreciate that. So yeah, no, it's been interesting. These are interesting times. Like there's never a dull moment, but it's also, I think, exciting times, because every day I see more and more people waking up. So that's the good news.
Well, that is good news, because it's impossible to take someone that's awake and put them back to sleep.
100%. But, yeah,
so
thank you so much for that.
Klaus Schwab and George Soros are scared to come out of their shadows.
I agree. I think watching their behavior as of late, they're kind of in hiding. Fauci, the same. The kind of the gig is up. They're realizing that the pendulum swing has come back the other way, right? There's always an equal opposite reaction. And the good news there is
they have the iron fist, and we have the numbers. So I'll be honest, I don't know what side wins. But I don't think it's going to be an easy fight on either side, because it's not easy to wake up that many people. There's a reason why that many people are asleep.
Yes, but at the same time, I look at the founding of this nation, and in reality, it was like a diligent 3% that just said, no, we're not going along with the crown. Like, this is a no-go. Like, tax too much already after... 17 forms of taxation, and just it was like enough's enough. So to me, we don't actually need the majority. I think we just need enough of the hearts and minds of like a consistent, studied people who are willing to speak out. And I know when myself and other people speak out, we give other people permission to agree, and they feel comforted and they're willing to say something. So we don't need everybody. I think we just need a concerted number of people who are willing to show up and stand up.
And therein lies where we're at, because a lot of people don't like standing up. Heather, I know Darcy doesn't have too much more time here, because she said she had a half hour, and I think I've pretty much gone over that time already. But if you have any good words for Darcy before she goes.
I most certainly do. I was just looking at your website, and you're spot on when you say that Utah needs justice reform. Our justice system is broken, and we have a lot of issues, from the Board of Pardons to doing the unified police department, and there's a lot of issues with this, and it's something that is definitely worth addressing and paying attention to legislation. There was a lot of bills that were aimed at criminal justice and reform, and I don't know if many know this, but they tried to end the death penalty in Utah, which is not giving the victims any ground to stand on when it comes to making people accountable for heinous crimes. And there are a lot of people who are incarcerated for nonviolent crimes, and they have felonies, and they don't even have the right to bear arms from these nonviolent crimes. And so there's a lot to look at there, and I am grateful for people like you to stand up and make sure that we have just laws put in place and that we block bad legislation, because it's so needed.
Okay, but I just want to make sure you understand. We are working to repeal the death penalty in Utah. So I hope you understand that I work with murder victims' families who realize that that process is so broken that they've been victimized by that process. It's actually more expensive. The death penalty is more expensive than life without parole. People are more likely to die of natural causes in prison than to be executed. And when you go through the full death penalty process, your average person sits on death row for at least 25 years, if not longer. And during that process, the murder victim's families come and have to attend your 8 to 9 appeals, and they're re-victimized by that every step of the way. So I work closely with a lot of murder victims' families who originally supported it, and after 20, 25, 30 years of being trampled through that process, they're absolutely against it because life without parole would have given them the opportunity to move on, knowing that person would never, ever be able to be on parole, and that person would effectively die in prison. So to me, our system is broken because we don't treat crime across the board the same. What determines whether or not somebody gets the death penalty has little to do with the heinousness of the crime. It has more to do with who the prosecutor is, what's the zip code where the crime took place, is the victim white, is the perpetrator a minority. All of these types of things dictate death penalty more than anything else. And
see,
so
I'm completely on the fence when it comes to that, and I don't know the answer because I see Utah being completely different in this regard than, say, Seattle, which is one of the largest liberal areas, and they'll just release people just because.
Okay,
and
so once again,
like,
People in death row don't get released. People in lieu of death row, people get life without parole. So it's not the same situation. I know that, like, you've heard of cities where they release people. Well, they've released people, but none of them, like, when you're talking about aggravated murder and other things, like, you don't see that situation. So the alternative is life without parole. And to me, that is in fact the answer. And like I said, life without parole is less expensive than the death penalty. Utah has spent $40 million over 20 years only to add 2 new people to Utah's death row. And, you know, it's just absurd when that money could have been spent instead to more programs to process rape kits and data and other things where we could have had more people, detectives on the street, you know, we could have more people prosecuting actual real crime, which is violent crime. In lieu of focusing on, you know, a lot of the low-hanging fruit of, you know, I don't support all of this nonviolent offenses. The reality is most people sitting in prison are there for nonviolent offenses. So it's usually drugs.
And I will say, too, Darcy, that we in America do not really focus on rehabilitating the criminals. It's like
exactly
once you get in the system, you're in there forever.
Well, yeah,
and
that's,
you're
100% so
correct.
Go ahead, Heather.
Yeah.
Well, we've got and you're spot on. The Department of Corrections has implemented some new changes with legislation, and Utah was one that was in the spotlight as far as resources for criminals. But we do have, if you're on death row, it's not a nonviolent crime. And then we've got a problem with Board of Pardons. Even during COVID, they lied to the public, said that they were releasing 800 inmates. They were nonviolent crimes. It was a total lie. And I called Board of Pardons on it. And they're releasing criminals who have committed heinous crimes against citizens. And I feel like the death penalty is at least gives some victims some leverage. I feel like crime will go up and we'll have a lot more people filling the prison systems if we take the death penalty away.
So once again, criminologists all agree that death penalty is not a deterrent. When people commit crimes, they commit crimes of passion.
And
we're
not
going to
solve it in a 10-minute conversation for either, though. So
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I guess
but,
out there
these are good conversations to have. It's not like anyone calls each other racist or you're a genderist or a misogynist. It's just a matter of what do we feel is in the best interest of the people involved, and we just have different backgrounds on that. That doesn't mean we can't hang
out.
And
no,
I don't even know what the right answer is, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
No,
absolutely.
I know. It's you pick my issue that it's like I'm so passionate about as an activist for. So it's just one of those things where it's like I just want to let you guys know that like, you know, this is a really, I'm just so passionate about this issue, and I believe that we create a culture of violence when we promote and have things like the death penalty. So I'll give you an example. When I started this campaign in 2016, we had 9 people on Utah's death row. Today, we have 7 people on Utah's death row, not because 2 were executed, but because 2 died of cancer in prison. They died of natural causes, and that's usually what happens most of the time instead of being executed. The reality is one of those cases in particular, I don't know if you ever heard of the book and the movie Under the Banner of Heaven, but you're talking about a really controversial case that like brings up a lot of religious undertones and a lot of things that if they had executed that man instead of him dying of natural causes in prison, it was literally like he died of natural causes. They had a blip at the paper, Deseret News and Salt Lake Trib, and a few people talked about it. But imagine how people would be affected in the consciousness of this state and even the world, because it would have made international headlines because of like just the salaciousness and how crazy the case was. If we had actually executed this man, everybody would be walking around saying, oh, kill him, kill him, kill him. And guess what? That's not the world that I live in. My daughter said it best when I started this campaign. She was 8 years old. And she said, Mom, if it's a crime to kill people, why are we killing them? And I just leave it from the mouth of babes. I don't operate from the same level of consciousness which the murder actually took place. And to me, it's philosophically an issue to claim that we're going to solve it that way. That's not who I am. That's not the world I want to live in. And I don't promote a culture of violence. So I'll just leave
it.
That's my final thought.
Darcy, I thought about this a lot. I like seeing sometimes when someone gets 9 consecutive life sentences and that might equal out to 277 years in prison. When they die, I don't think that's an excuse to take their body out of there. I think they should rot in there for the 277 years. Let their bones sit there.
I think they'd suffer more.
Get someone to not commit crimes because they have to sit there with all that dead, rotting flesh around them.
Exactly right. And so, like, going back to the amount of time it takes to finally, you know, to execute somebody. I mean, you have people in death row in Utah. They've been on death row for over 40 years. And so I put it back to this idea. I don't want to ask American juries to lend a sentence to put somebody to death. I don't actually want to give government the power to put somebody to death. That's what it is for me, plain and simple, as a liberty-minded individual, is I can't trust government to deliver a mail to the right house. Why would I trust them with the power to execute someone?
Well,
I just have something to say really quick. So I happen to have a lot of friends on in the Department of Corrections, and the officers alone, the trauma that they go through from dealing with some of these criminals is horrifying. I laid next to my ex-husband, who is an AP&P agent, while he was having nightmares about the horrible things that he saw in the prisons. And,
yeah, so I'm so glad you brought that up. But here's the thing.
And there was
Go ahead.
Oh, so just to make an example of one of the crimes, I won't go into great detail because you won't sleep tonight and you'll never get out of your head. Someone cut a little baby with a tuna can so they could gain access. And this person is someone who could be possibly up for parole and continue to take away and abuse other people's freedoms.
Okay. So, but getting back to the people who work there in the prison, so once again, that's a case that requires life without parole, no question, right? But I get back to the culture of, I don't want to ask an American jury to sentence somebody to death. I also don't want to ask these prison guards. So these prison guards, they have to care for people in prison. And the situation with death row is you have somebody who's cared for somebody in prison for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years. Well, guess what? 30 years later on some random day, a guard who's cared for this person brought them meals, took care of them, brought them outside, all of these things day in and day out for 15, 20, 30 years. One random day, they're going to walk them down a hallway, strap them to a chair, and pump them through three different chemicals to end their life. And to me, that's an absurd thing for us to ask people. We don't like a culture of violence. We don't want people committing these heinous crimes. We don't have state-sanctioned murders. We don't ask our guards to care for people and then put them to death. People cannot deal with the psychological aspect of being asked to kill these people. It is not right for anybody, and it's not bringing justice to anybody. All you're doing is creating more illness and mental illness in a lot of other people's lives.
Absolutely, and I want to make a very strong point. We may have differing views, but that is so crucial for our society, and this is why. We shouldn't
Absolutely.
Have one mindset. We've got to have balance, and that's what creates balance in our system, because it's our experiences, and just like you shared that experience with the guard and their compassion towards people, we've got to find a balance between compassion and, the responsibilities of liberty, and one of those is not taking or intruding on others' liberties, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of those people are in prison, is because they couldn't be responsible with the freedoms that they had, and therefore that's why they're in the prison system, they're getting some of those liberties taken away. But there has to be a balance.
But that's absurd. That's you assuming that they're all guilty, and that's an absurd thing to say. At least 10% of the people
are
on death row. No, at least 10% of the people on death row are innocent. Can you accept the fact that 10% of the people are going to be have been falsely accused, and that they're going to die for something they didn't do? Can you accept that idea? Would you accept the idea that would you board a plane? 10% of them are going to fall out of the sky?
And that's why people like Bill Cosby get let out of jail, because you'd rather people – how was it worded here? Because evidence wasn't handled 100%, you'd rather let people go based on if they were possibly guilty rather than execute someone who was innocent. So I understand how that works.
Absolutely. As somebody who questions the government, for anybody, I don't understand how anybody can call themselves a liberty activist. If you take issue with the government, if you don't trust the government to control your health care, the same mind has to question how they handle our criminal justice system. You can't believe that everybody there is guilty and rightfully so. Like, that's an absurd idea. The same reason why,
over time, and now that there's even more surveillance, that you will have more clear-cut evidence if somebody is guilty as time goes on, where it's much easier now to say if somebody's guilty than say 80 years ago, but we're not at 100% or even 99% yet.
We're not even close. You realize there's only DNA evidence in 5 to 10% of cases. Most people have been basically sentenced based on circumstantial evidence and faulty witness testimony. And if I was to ask each one of you, okay, you saw this person at the store yesterday. Describe them. Give me all the details. Give me the whereabouts of your day, where you were from minute to minute.
Yeah.
I promise you, you would make many mistakes.
Oh, guaranteed. But we do have surveillance, and we do have the – I'm so grateful for juries because it takes the power away from the judge and the prosecutors and puts it in the hands of the people, multiple people. So they all have to come up with that decision together. And just to go back to the prison guard, I know, you know, and that nurturing spirit that is so important. It's crucial for our society and the justice system to have that compassion towards people. And then, you know, using the jury, those types of things can help prove innocence or help, you know, hopefully reduce sentences. I've seen firsthand, you know, a lot of criminals getting away with, they're slapped on the wrist and they're slapped with a fine. And really, it's a big money-making scheme. And so I agree with you there. That is definitely broken. And I think that there's a lot of people who, you know, if you pay a lot of money, you can get away with murder and buy your way out of the judicial system.
Well, yeah,
but there
look
are
at
a lot of
Dr. Frotti and Bill Gates. They can get away with murder because they have the money.
Yes, you,
right.
You
and
get the justice.
What happens to people
afford.
Like that?
You get the justice you can afford in America. And that's
well,
why
but
you,
then
should,
you take away the have.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I want to hear. I want to hear it.
Darcy, go ahead. It's your turn.
Please.
So I was going to say, you get the justice you can afford in America. If you're not seeing, you have backward prosecutors who withhold evidence on a regular basis. You have, you know, all kinds of situations that are highly questionable.
Yeah.
Things that happen with police officers, people protecting their butts. They want to keep their job. People want to have perfect prosecutorial records, everything else. Watch the documentary Making of a Murder. It just gives you a little bit of insight into when people are protecting their jobs and other things. And so I'm just saying, for people to not be critical and not question our criminal justice system is absurd. Like, when they can just put people in prison, you got NDA out there where they're putting people, just holding them without actually having a trial, you know, like holding people indefinitely. You should be very suspicious and very concerned about all of these things.
And
not
going back
to give government more power.
I'm not for or anti the death penalty, I guess, and I don't know how I would change my mind, but I know that a lot of the justice system right now is a lot of activist judges. Like, if Kyle Rittenhouse was in Chicago, he would be facing a life sentence, whereas in Wisconsin, he had a judge who was willing to listen to him.
Exactly, and that's the same thing that you should be concerned about regarding the death penalty, is that it's totally based on who the prosecutor is and the zip code where it takes place. So it's not an apples to apples comparison. It's all over the map. You know, there's just it's all this, you know, it changes wherever you go, and it's a moving target, and it becomes very political and politicized, and that's why we need to be critical of what's happening with the criminal justice system and not supporting it and not wanting to give government more power.
But there's other dumb things here, and I know I don't want to keep you too long here because I've kept you 30 minutes longer than you wanted to stay. But I don't understand, and just looking at if somebody did have the death penalty, a firing squad is too inhumane, so we give them an injection, which translates into the same end result.
Yeah, it's crazy. Utah actually has been on the forefront of firing squad, and Utah brought back death by firing squad in 2015, believe it or not. The last person who was executed actually requested it, because they're – from the standpoint of looking around the country and the medication used to kill people on death row, because pharmaceutical companies don't want to manufacture it anymore. You have had a lot of botched executions where people don't actually die. They just suffer because the drugs are expired and don't do what they needed to do. So it's actually torturing them, which is actually a violation of our Constitution. So the reality is, I mean, that's another reason to get rid of it. You don't even have pharmaceutical companies that don't even want to be part of this. They don't want their company tied to it. They don't want to be involved in it. Wow. Half of the states across the nation have eliminated the death penalty. And we're going to continue to see that trend. I mean, states like California has spent over $2 billion on the death row, on their death row death penalty system, when they could have saved a lot more money with just life without parole. So I'm just letting you know it actually would save money, and that money could be used to help, you know, rehabilitate people who can be rehabilitated. I'm not saying people on death row to rehabilitate. I'm talking about people in there, reform our system, you know, create, you know, more of like rehab for people who are addicted to drugs as opposed to incarceration. The reality is we have less of a drug problem in America as we have a mental health problem. And people are self-medicating with drugs and alcohol for their mental health. And throwing the mentally ill in the prison is not the answer. So we've got to do something different.
But a lot of the issue, though, is that they'll have the low-level drug salesmen get put in jail for many years, but the El Chapos of the world very seldom get caught.
100%. You're exactly right.
Or the arms dealers just get released back over to Russia. For in trade,
sure.
Athletes.
Yeah, in trade for basketball players, correct.
Yeah,
yes, for sure. So it's a whole lot of nonsense, but we've got to be vigilant. And, hey, I'm all for people standing up, having their voices heard. I've just come to this place, you know, after I got my degree in criminology at George Mason. And for me, I'm passionate about this issue because I believe we can do much better as a society. We should not be incarcerating nonviolent people. Nonviolent people do not belong in cages. We've got to provide people rehabilitation and treat mental health. So otherwise, you know, what are we going to be left with?
Oh, I get it.
Well, we've got the
so, Darcy,
DUI.
We'd love to have you back more often than once a year.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. We will have to catch up. I know you caught my hot topic, so you bring up the death penalty. I can go the rounds for sure. I get revitalized.
Well,
I'm
hoping that you two still get to meet up and break some bread together.
I'm sure we will. That would be fun, Heather.
I love your passion.
Yes, for sure,
we
Heather.
We need people like you.
For sure. We need to get lunch soon. So, hey, I've got to run, but it's great to connect. Thanks as always, Dave. It's good to catch up. Glad you guys are doing well, and keep fighting the fight.
All right.
Likewise,
sounds
Darcy.
Good.
You
Thank
are
you,
phenomenal.
Okay, everybody have a great evening.
All
Thank
right.
You.
So
Thank
we're
you
gonna
so
go
much.
Break. Bianchi, I see Thank you there. I'll bring you in right after the break. So we'll be right back.
We talk a lot about the kingdom here, and we talk a lot about what most churches are afraid to talk about or don't even know to talk about, which is what the first century church was really doing. But just talking about it is not enough. We encourage everybody to join us in their local neighborhoods, in their local communities, to find out more about what they can do to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Gather with others who are already starting this road or starting to turn around and do things differently. Join us on thelivingnetwork.org or at hisholychurch.org. Go to the network links or go to preparingyou.com. Join the network there. It's all the same. And we'll try to hook you up with people in your local area. They will not be perfect. They don't walk on water. They are not necessarily saints. But they are talking about seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And join us on Facebook. Facebook.com, His Holy Church, all one word. Join us there. We'll give you updates so you can start doing some studying and thinking about these things and start looking into these things for yourselves. But it's just not enough to sit and listen or to talk about or to say. You must become a doer of the word.
Hello to all you filth bags and something duckers that are looking for employment. We're hiring 87,000 new IRS agents. Are you able to knock on doors and demand to see people's tax returns? We need people who are willing to handle firearms. You need to be the government's new army. Your job will consist of number not grades of people who work as waitresses and did not report all their cash tips. Or maybe they had a yard sale and did not report income. You might need to shoot someone dead who is refusing to cooperate. Or you may have to deal with some childrens. That part is for me. You might need to enforce your will on people by any means necessary to force those 99% dolts and nincompoops to give over all their property to the 1%. If they say they voted for Trump, you kick them in the kumquats. Look, almost 75 million Americans voted for Trump. Another 12 million voted for other candidates. There is another 40 million that voted for Brandon and said something mean about him on Spybook. We need to teach those political enemies that we mean business as we turn America into a third world hellhole for all. If you vote Democrat, we will be coming for you eventually. But for now we are starting our training and first order of work with bringing those right and center wing extremists to those FEMA camps that do not exist. So who wants to work for the IRS? Just go to their website and then we will put you in basic training. Once you prove to us you can handle a firearm and threaten Trump supporters hardcore enough, we will place you on those mean streets and help us confiscate property on all those fuss budgets that did not complete a perfect error-free annual taxation form. Good luck to all you applicants. And good luck all you dolts and something luck heirs who will let us get away with it.
Do you want to hear the truth about New York State and beyond? I'm Diana.
And I'm Dean.
Join us Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. until 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we'll talk about everything New York State and beyond.
Yeah, nationwide news and local news and the tyranny that's going on here in New York State and what the Democrats are doing across the country, too.
We're going to talk about just about everything. Join us Thursdays, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, D&D delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. See you then.
Now, back to Proof Negative on Freedomizer Radio.
Number three, we are here Monday through Thursday, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern. That is 6 to 9 p.m. Pacific time. Heather Liberty is our new Tuesday night co-host here. And Bianchi, welcome into the show, sir.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Oh, welcome.
Right. Hello there, young lady. I was listening to the conversation regarding cryptocurrency and
yes, sir.
Also the death penalty. Now, I'm for the death penalty. I think if somebody's obvious that they've done what they're accused of, taking somebody's life, a bit malice, they should be killed. You know, you had to, and I'm very critical of one particular ethnic group in this country, which I look like. And I remember a case in Arkansas where you had two young black toddlers who had their head sawed off in front of their mother by two black males because she didn't have any money nor any drugs. Well, those guys should be put to death, not lavishing in a prison for 20 or 25 years. And you know what happens in this is that when they say that the state cannot carry out executions, well, then the next thing they're going to say, you as a citizen who are defending yourself have no right to use deadly force. And we have some instances already where citizens had to defend themselves. You had one in Conyers, Georgia, where this homeowner, this is a black man, who you had three teenagers come up and try to rob him when he was getting out of his car, walking to his house. And one of them shot at him. Well, he turned around and killed all three of them. And now you got people saying he shouldn't have killed them. Well, what was he supposed to do, let them kill him? What about the case in the restaurant where the guy came in with a fake gun and was robbing people? Well, one of the customers shot him dead. And he found out that the gun was fake. He got kind of angry. Well, here again, the family is saying, well, you could have warned him. You didn't have to shoot him nine times. So, no, that's another one of those compromise things again. When you start compromising, you get up from the table and leave, you have less than what you had before you sat at the table. So, no, these people that go out and do the things that they do, and it's quite obvious that they've done, they should be put to death. And not only that, they should be made to pay restitution of some sort to the victim's family. So that's my position on that.
I agree.
See, I'm
you know,
curious. Go ahead.
No. I'll be real quick. I agree. But it's not a particular race. It's a human being problem, and a human race issue, and a mental health issue. But people like Darcy do bring balance to the system, because compassion and justice, there needs to be that balance in our judicial system for sure. So I can definitely appreciate Darcy's perspective on the whole thing, but there are some people that I think don't deserve to live because they took the life of
others. I hear what you say when you say it's not about race, but it is about race. Anytime in Chicago where you have 1 year, 4,875 with 745 murdered, next year, 466 shot with about 4,666 shot with about 463 murders, and thus so far this year from Memorial Day of 2022, you're about 2,800 shot with another 300 some odd murders. Those are blacks that's shooting and harming each other. We have to tell it like it is. I know that human beings do it, but when you're talking about Pacific areas, you're talking about Pacific demographics, then you have to tell it like it is. Then the question is why come more leadership in that area, those areas, are not raving and hollering holy hell because this is going on? Now, if it was somebody looked like Proof doing it, they would be. We have to tell it like it is. I understand the human factor. You're absolutely right. Human beings in different societies around the world have enslaved those that look like those, them. They have lynched those that look like them. That's what human beings do. But when you have a concentration of these things going on, and out of all that shooting, no white police officer shot nobody. They just look for that. Just look for it with a fine-tooth comb and a magnifier to see if, well, did the white police shoot this person? No, well, let's wait till the next one. You got to stop being susceptible to that.
Now, if you look at it, I agree. There are the issues of black on black, and that hasn't been a big issue. Candace Owens has discussed the issue. My good friend John Harvey, he's, an African-American, American Muslim, who's a conservative,
But you look at, you know, Chicago, there are concentrations of crime with black on black, but it is, you know, it's there are a lot of victims of the system, but you look, you know, back in the olden days where racism was very prominent, you had a lot of white people lynching African Americans, and I believe that there's just, I mean, racism is an issue. Is it as bad as we make it out to be? In some areas, yes, because that's their reality. But it's not that way in a lot of other areas, so it's hard to generalize. I think a lot of people generalize populated areas, issues where there's high crime, a specific ethnic group, because if we look in a lot of different places, we can see lots of concentrations of lots of different things. But we do need to acknowledge the issue that there is a lot of crime. People should be punished for their crimes. I don't think people need to get away with their crimes.
Well, let me ask you a question. Is those blacks shooting other blacks, is that not racism? It shouldn't take you that long to answer that question.
Absolutely. So bringing race into it is another dangerous topic because racism is, we're generalizing so many things. And, okay, so here's one of the big issues that I see generalizing racism. Our Salt Lake Mayor Aaron Mendenhall declared that racism is a public health emergency and that we need federal funding because of the racism in Utah. And I grew up in Utah and in a very small town. And, you know, I'm Caucasian, but I do have some Jewish blood. I've got some African-American ancestry as well. It's very slim, but I grew up in a neighborhood, small town. Our neighbors across the street, the father was Mexican and the mother was white. And I grew up with that diverse, multicultural background, and I grew up seeing people for people, not for their skin. And I love Michael Jackson. He's, you know, a hero of mine. And, you know, I listened to rap growing up and loved that culture. And a lot of people didn't experience that. They've experienced what they've experienced, and they've experienced hatred of others in different ways that I have. And so the understanding from each other needs to find that balance. And I think that there's
Here's the thing. What you are in your ancestor background, you are what you are today. If a criminal comes up and portray a crime on you, and you have to describe that criminal, if the criminal looks Mexican, say he looks or she looks Mexican, or say he or she looks black, or he or she looks Asian. I mean, this is not describing what a person looks like to you, and probably is if you know, and not describe them as that, is just as bad as these people that's coming up saying they're gender fluid, and so on, so on, and so on.
Agreed, absolutely.
So what's going on in the area, and these are areas that's predominantly one ethnic group, de facto, not de jure segregation, which is government-sponsored. They are living here because they want to, which is perfectly fine. And here's the thing. When you say you're generalizing, so you're generalizing criminals because of their ethnicity, well, I, as a conservative, look what happens to me because of my political aspirations. And then, too, that criminal that goes out there and commits that crime, he may be dressed in the same clothes that I'm dressed in. So
100%, and that,
I have
that
a
happened.
Problem.
We saw it happen on January
6th. Yeah, I have a problem when people don't want to say things like they did. The news do it. You have a news service. If one African Information News or something, they specifically use the adjectives to describe what a person with non-black skin does to a person with black skin. But when it's the other way around, they don't use it like that. Now, I think that the news services and the media is the biggest systemic racist organization that there are in the country, because the way they go about reporting and the way they rate things up. But nobody tells them that. They just grin and bear it. So,
you're
no,
spot
I'm
on.
For the death penalty. I'm for the death penalty. If it's quite out, like in right outside of St. Louis and Wellston. In St. Louis County, you got a prosecutor. He's black. First black St. Louis County prosecutor, Wesley Bell, came out of the Black Power, not the Black Power, but came out of the Mike Brown incident. He said that he's not gonna seek the death penalty on the case he prosecutes. Well, there's been several cases where you had black males shoot white police officers. One in Wellston, Missouri, where Officer Lansdowne was laying on his back in a confectionery, and this black man stood over and pumped bullets in him. He should be put to death.
I agree.
When he was caught, white police didn't kill him, didn't lynch him, as the popular narrative was. They brought him to justice, unharmed. He should be put to death. You had another case down here in Baton Rouge where a black man traveled from Kansas City, came down, and he, similar thing, he stood over a police officer after ambushing him, shot one to death, and then I think he shot another. Now, in Louisiana, they're going to put you to death down here. I like the state if you're a criminal and if you do something quite obvious. But this stuff will let people
lavish.
Yeah,
that's the thing, obvious. Yeah.
You let these people lavish in these prisons, you got over 800,000 in the U.S. prisons, then you're bringing in illegal immigrants at the same time. Then you got about 30 in the U.S. Congress that wasn't born in the United States. Well, right then and there, you know, people may say it's mean, but they bring a different ideology. Now, sometimes it's, you know, they are pro-strong Americans. But if you're fighting a Muslim terrorist organization like Al-Shabaab and the possibility you have an Al-Shabaab in your Congress, what does that say? Then you got people say that Congress people should be privy to what we call secret documents. You got a big problem going on.
It is a big problem, and I think that the mindset that the media is setting, there's a reason why they call TV shows and media daily programming.
I call it the smell-o-vision.
The smell. It's toxic. It really is. I mean, we've known it was toxic from the very beginning. It was bad for us. I mean, it's unhealthy for our eyes that, you know, the electro frequencies from the TV, they're just not healthy. But also we know that that is their way of getting into each one of our homes and sharing the propaganda, like I brought up earlier in the show, Access Sally. And, you know, read about her. There are people like that in our media today that are Access Sallys, and they are spreading propaganda. They are propaganda chefs, and they use words. They know how to use words that trigger emotion. And when they use their words that trigger emotions, it becomes a reality in people, and people remember emotions. We store emotions. We store memories. It's chemical. And emotions are a part of that muscle memory. And that's why they do it, because they can trigger emotions. They can change reality. And I think it's important to be able to, like when you're reading, read between the lines, use your discernment. Not enough people today use their discernment. And that's why I feel like a lot of people are very massively manipulized. And I think that, during this whole George Floyd incident, A lot of people didn't see the full footage on that. They saw what happened to this black man, and yeah, it was disgusting to see George Chauvin with his knee on George Floyd, but they didn't know the history that George Floyd and Chauvin were actually friends, and that they belonged to a specific club. And after Floyd was left on the ground, they had watched this. I advise everybody to watch the whole damn footage, because there was a fake, the EMT people that showed up to haul George Floyd away were wearing wires, and they weren't wearing EMT. They touched him a couple times. If they were true EMT, they would have worked on him. I know law enforcement, especially the ones that are medically trained, even if they take somebody's life, they are trained to resuscitate and bring that guy back to life so he can seek justice through the justice system, either for the victim or, you know, someone who may have been wrongfully harmed. But they're trained to resuscitate. And the AMPs that were real, that were called on the job, they showed up after the first crew took off with George Floyd. Watch the video. Look at the...
Let me ask you a question. Was George Floyd black?
He was black. And he was also on a lot of drugs.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let me ask you another question. Why come the same type of attention was not given to the white suspect that was killed with a police officer on his neck in the same town?
Because of our American history. And I know that
white
sounds
guy,
so funny.
That white guy. The white gentleman that died from the same sort of treatment, the police had his knee on his neck, he died. But you don't hear nothing about it.
Yeah,
it's
because
they're triggering emotion from American history.
That's why.
It triggers emotion. That's why they're able to manipulate that.
Matter of fact, I think in that case, the chief was getting ready for a riot and getting his people ready and so forth until they found out it was a white man. Everybody went back in the house and was looking at TV. Honest.
You're right. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. They are using our emotions. They're using and abusing our emotions and history. And that's why states like California are wanting to offer the black citizens $5 million in reparations for, they weren't even slaves. California wasn't even a slave state. And the people who live today, most of them probably have never owned a slave. If you have, you belong in prison because that's against the law.
Who's going to pay the reparations?
The U.S. Supreme, and none of us own slaves.
Who had the slaves, whites?
Well, there were people who were black that had slaves as well, and their Irish people were slaves.
You got to be kidding me. Are you saying that there was black slaveholders? I never heard of that before.
They were selling their people in Africa.
No, I'm talking about here in plantation owners here in the United States. So there was black plantation owners that had black slaves in the United States?
No.
I never hear about that.
Not in the United States. We're talking about in Africa. Kente was sold by...
Let me correct you. There was a lot of black slaveholders, plantation owners in the United States. In South Carolina alone, upwards of 30,000 was being held by black plantations. In New Orleans, 28% of free blacks owned slaves. You never heard that.
And you don't hear about that. You don't hear about that.
I wonder why.
Because they want a narrative for people to be able to manipulate. Because it works for them.
Well, whenever, for instance, yourself or anybody else, whenever they're talking like they had these hearings about slavery for reparation, the only thing they mention about is white slaveholders. The face of a slaveholder is a white person, a white male. You got a white supremacy, like this law that Sheila Jackson Lee, this bill she has introduced, is supposed to attack white supremacy.
Hilarious.
If you think about it, yeah. And when you really lay it on the table, it's about destroying free speech on the First Amendment. But here's the thing. Until you, if you hear people talking about the travesty of, well, slaveholders, which was a business. It wasn't illegal, for one thing. Now, and the ones that was who was victims of it, it wasn't nothing new for them, because where they came from, it was something that had been going on for a millennia or longer. But if they try to get away with this saying that the slaveholder was white, something needs to be said.
Well, that's interesting, because I just Googled, there's at least 10 prominent black slave owners. I'm actually going to send this over.
Okay.
The proof, and I'd like to read that. So that's something
go ahead, and what's funny is that if you're black and you're trans, just think of how rich you're going to get.
Oh, yeah. Like that guy that was arrested in Russia and sentenced for marijuana. Oh, that was a girl. Just kidding. But she's a trans, and we all know it.
Well, Griner should be made to finish out her Russian sentence in a U.S. jail.
No, I think we should have left her in Russia. I think we should have left her there. What were we thinking? That wasn't even a fair trade. Like, I didn't vote for that. Like, I just think that it's mind-blowing that they would trade for Brittany Grimey. I call her Grimey, because she lied about marijuana usage, and she shouldn't have gone into another country and broken the law. We should have let her sit there, and that's the problem with our society today, is that people don't think that they need to be accountable. You know, it's like this whole my body, my choice thing. My body, my choice. Well, if it's your body, your choice, you should have made the decision to lay with somebody. You know, you should have made the decision to take birth control, or to not, you know, to not allow somebody to plant their seed inside of you, because that's the act of creation, and we need to be accountable. People like Brittany Grimer, I mean, it shows our society, it's a huge statement that people shouldn't have to be accountable for the crimes that they commit.
Are you familiar with a foreign country called Nigeria? Can you guess the percentage of the population, the demographics of the population in Nigeria? It's about 95, 96, maybe 97% black skin. If Briner had committed that crime in Nigeria, we probably wouldn't know where she's at right about now. Now, would they have said that Nigeria is racist?
They couldn't.
These questions make
have no
you think, don't they?
Absolutely.
These questions make you think. Because if she had been in Nigeria and been accused of doing what she'd done in Russia, she probably would have been put to death.
That would have been sad to see over a marijuana charge, but a crime is a crime, and everybody has laws and rules for a reason.
That's right. That's a sovereign country. They got a right to implement their punishment on their crimes however they see is best for that nation. After all, the people voted for them. So, no. You have to start looking at these things different, because what's happening is you're starting to slide backwards. And this opposition that wants to destroy the fabric of the United States has been after this for some time. And they slowly pushing back opposition until they're going to be a king of the hill and everything is going to go the way that they want it to go. We see that now. look at this stuff with Joe Biden. Look at the criminality that he's involved in and the light slap on the wrist, even not that treatment that he's getting. He got a damn medal of all things. We got to fight back and start saying it like it is, what you see. And don't be afraid to use the explicitness that you should be using as you describe what you see.
And Merrick Garland's not going to prosecute anything on Brandon.
No, he's not. Look at the what's the guy's name that's head of the FBI?
Christopher Wray.
If you look at his association with Clinton, and it just goes on and on and on. No, they're not going to. They will invest. They're not going to find Joe Biden guilty of anything. You got the same old deep state.
It depends. They'll find him guilty if he doesn't understand that he's not running for a second term, because they said that they're ready right now, if they have to either bring in Governor Grusom in California or Michael Robinson Obama, who I'm sure is a nice lady.
Clark.
But they all still same with the same bunch. They all are the same bunch.
They decided the powers that be don't want Brandon anymore. He's too feeble, and puts them in positions where they're weak, and they're not going to be able to push communism in the United States with somebody like Brandon at the helm.
Yeah. Well, it's really terrible, the things that they're getting away with. And I'm just glad he didn't take his Corvette for a Sunday stroll down the street with a box of documents, secret documents on the back lid of the trunk, where they would fall off and spread all over the street and litter them up. And I mean, it just would have been horrible.
Well, they wouldn't have stayed out very long. I'm sure that the Chinese people would be following him and scooping him right up.
Because they're buddies. They're in cahoots together. They're the ones who probably helped bring the, what was the Harvard spy? There were three of them, four or five years ago, that they found in the United States. One was in Canada. And we know that they're here. I mean, it's something that our governments have done for ages, from the beginning
of
time.
If you think if Ilhan Omar gets a hold, it's privileged to see some secret documents talking about some actions against al-Shabaab and Somali, you don't think the first chance she gets, she's going to be sending emails over there or on the phone warning?
Absolutely. We're in a dangerous position, and there needs to be some stronger people in our party. I mean, I was forced to draw a line, right, and take a side, so it's going to be the conservative side, but there's no cojones on our side. People just want to live their life and not have to put any effort, and once they're elected, they just get fat and happy off the American dollar, and they take no action. And we need to light a fire under these, our politicians, and make them accountable and volunteer at the voter polls and be a poll watcher and, you know, become commissioners, you know, become state school board member, you know, chair leads and get involved in your local community, because that's the only way we're going to see real change is for people to step up and
see,
actually
poll watching, I don't know if that matters anymore. What matters is that we have to watch some of the major cities and make sure that there's not 3 a.m. Truck drop-offs.
Yep. Yeah, that's That's the thing. I mean, yeah, you can poll watch all you want, but it's all on the back end. And we saw it in 1,000 or what is it, 10,000 mules or however. Yeah, the video that came out.
Well, judges don't call it like they should. Your judges don't call it like, unless that's Sullivan with the individual that they're raiding his house. Look what he done. This was a black judge, too. You would think that. And here's the thing. As much as I've heard blacks complain about injustice, disenfranchisement, well, as soon as they get in power, they do the same thing time 10. Nobody says nothing.
And you're right. 100%. You know, we've seen it happen.
So, Bianchi, going back to California trying to figure out how to pay each black person $5 million. Is there going to be an amnesty on that where anybody that's black that needs money can go get their $5 million from the state of California?
Well, maybe I should move to California and you should go with me and claim that you're black, like that one woman did with the NAACP, the white woman did.
Oh, Rachel Dolezal. Yeah, you just have to move to Barstow or just move to, Lake Tahoe and just go across the border and then get your money and move to Nevada.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Elizabeth Warren is Native American, so I guess we can identify whatever we want these days.
Oh, yeah, you can. Griner is the male of the relationship between him and the lady. Hell, look at Lori Lightfoot, 4'6", and she's black, and her wife, a white woman, looks like she's about 7'6".
Yeah, I think she's
I think Lightfoot should identify as Beetlejuice. Am I wrong? Do we feel like she should identify as Beetlejuice?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. She's scary.
Yeah, more like the Howard Stern version of Beetlejuice.
Oh my gosh. This is why I love this show, right? You got to tune in because this is super entertaining.
Oh, people
like,
listening call us racist.
Yeah. Let them. A name is a name. That doesn't mean it's true.
You know, racism is not illegal. Racism is an act. It doesn't have any respect for skin color. And it's not illegal unless you violate somebody's civil rights. I know of cases where there's been all black proms in Georgia and all white proms in Georgia. I know of organizations that don't allow any white members, like the Congressional Black Caucus. No white members, and guess what? No black conservatives. Is that not racism?
Yeah, racism isn't just something that Caucasians do. There's racism in all nationalities.
But it's never portrayed that way. And that's wrong. I mean, white males got blamed for so much stuff in the last 2 to 3 years. I started getting jealous. Hell, leave some for me.
See, I just look at stuff like the Duke lacrosse team.
Or the Tawana Brawler. Al Sharpton and Tawana Brawler. And yes, you're right about the Duke lacrosse team. They blame those white males raping this stripper that came to the party. It goes on and on and on.
Well, they even played. Remember, they played that trick on Justice Kavanaugh a few years back too, though.
Well, look how. What's the guy who was up for Speaker of the House? Jeffries. I know Jeffrey's uncle, Leonard Jeffrey. Look how Jeffrey's jumped on Clarence Thomas because of his constitutional views, which is damn good, if you ask me. They don't like that. No, you're not supposed to rule according to, you're supposed to bring your heart-based conviction into your ruling. Your experiences and my experiences, because it's an imbalance and we have to make it right. We have to put on them as much as they put on us. And that's the conversation that we had if you privileged to be a fly on the wall. Anyway, fellas, I'm going to let you guys go. You only got a few minutes.
No, that's cool. Thank you for joining us, Bianchi.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Talk to you later. You too, lady.
Right. You are fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. I've loved the conversation.
Sure.
Don't worry. He's a regular, so you'll see more of him.
Looking forward to it.
See, and on most networks, you can't have that conversation. That kind of stuff is taboo to talk about. And, whoops, hold on here. Let's bring on another caller here. We have Vito out there on the road somewhere.
What's up, guys? How are you tonight?
Well, thanks
hey,
for
Vito.
Calling. I am out in Pennsylvania right now, headed to Ohio.
Okay.
Just shut down for the night. I go back out at 3 a.m. Yeah, that story from San Francisco, it's almost like as if San Francisco just doesn't want to exist anymore. Where is this money going to come from? Anyone who lives in that city.
How people are going to move. Do they really think that once they announce that people aren't going to be moving there trying to get their $5 million and leave?
Yeah, and who's going to leave there? Because they don't, why should I pay for this? I had nothing to do with this.
Well, and you'll get some people that'll move there just to get that money and then move back. They might not even rent an apartment. They'll just have a friend, and they'll just get a phone bill sent there, and then that's it.
Well, I remembered,
even if you think it's wrong. Even if you think it's wrong, who's going to deny? I mean, everybody's going to want that.
That's the thing.
Screw ethics.
Yeah, so all you have to do, Vito and Heather, is you go hit up Columbia House and have them send you 12 CDs for a penny at your friend's house, and then you get your $5 million.
Yeah. I remember the Columbia House days.
Oh, so do I. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah. It's just, to even come up with that number, $5 million per person. It's like if I lived there and they said, okay, we're not even going to have the citizens vote on this. The city council is just going to vote on it, and they're going to approve it. Where is this money going to come from? That's the question.
Hey, when the U.S. no longer has the U.S. dollar, are they still going to think that they're going to get this money?
Yeah. I mean, and this is a cancer that's going to spread. It's not going to just stop with San Francisco. I mean, when California said that they were gonna pay X amount of dollars, New York State said, well, we're gonna think about paying X amount of dollars also, which is more than what California was gonna pay. I mean, when does this end? Where is this?
Well, remember there was a city that started paying all the trans people $5,000 a month.
I believe that was San Francisco also. Poof.
Yeah, it was a suburb of San Francisco, but yeah, it was in the area.
There's just a sickness over there that just doesn't make sense. Just doesn't make sense. You know, and the other question that I'd like to know, that I would like asked is, if anyone has asked this to Biden, how and why how did he get those documents, and why did he have those documents?
But why is it now after the midterm?
Well, you know, and that's another, you know, why isn't anything being done about this? I mean, you know,
well, Merrick
a double
Garland
standard.
is there to basically be Brandon's right tackle on the offensive line. So that's the only reason why he was brought in there. So he already plans on not investigating.
Yeah, but there's only so many body blows you're gonna take, Proof, before you fall down, man. Because there's just no way that they could sustain this kind of punishment now. I mean, it's so blatant what they did. They went after Trump. Trump had every right to have the docs. Trump declassified the docs. They were secured because they said to him, "Yeah, we know you got these documents. Just put them in a door." In a locked room, you're the only one that has the key, and that's it. His documents were in the garage.
Was an absolute setup to test our drive to prosecute. And
well, it's always
it's so fishy.
It's always a set. It's always a test because, look, no one is upset about this. Listen, people lied on FISA warrants applications. People should be in jail right now, and no one is locked up for this stuff. They're admitting that the Russia collusion was fake, was created just to go after Donald Trump. There is just so much to go after here. I mean, you could cherry pick whatever you want, and you could go hard on them, and they're not. We're going to have inquiries. We're going to have investigations. No one is getting locked up for this. But I tell you right now, God forbid you don't pay your income taxes, the full force of the government is going to come down on you. Biden charging his son $50,000 a month to live in the house. $50,000, is that not money laundering? That's got to be money laundering. Who charges that kind of money?
In Delaware, no less.
Yeah.
That's the most expensive house in Delaware.
$50,000 a month. And you're going to tell me that it's not a kickback? It's not money laundering? Come on. Come on, man.
Yeah, I don't know any other house in Delaware that you can rent, and I don't care how many mansions there are. You're not paying $50,000 a month for rent in any other house in Delaware.
And any lawyer who tied themselves to this should be investigated, and if anything, they should be disbarred, because as I said, everywhere that Joe Biden goes is a crime scene. Everywhere. And it should be treated as such. And why they're not storming. Right now, the FBI, well, I mean, it's the White House, I get it. But the way that the treatment that Donald Trump got for doing what he was, I mean, it was clear optics doing what they did to him. To make everyone think that this guy is bad. Well, now Joe Biden did something criminal, and it was covered up. It was covered up.
Yeah, but
clearly, in my
opinion, this is only a story because they're trying to tell Brandon not to run in 2024, and they want him out of there. And he's not
going to move, there's only going to be one way to get him out of there, Poof. And
I think
you know, that,
his
and
own
that,
party set him. I think they set him up. I think his own party set him up with those documents. so that mm-hmm. he would lose his reputation.
I don't think he was set up. I really do believe that, you know, he would have said it. I think he would. Why not come out and say, listen, I have no idea what you're talking about. I don't know about none of these documents.
Well, I don't think he was set up. Let me put it this way. I think people knew about it, and they were willing to not say anything, but they got something on him. And if he's not willing to play ball, then they release little tidbits and see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah,
who knows?
They're cold cut slicing this.
But that's exactly what it is.
It's just bizarre, man, how things are
so
blatant, how things are going, and yet, you know, no one, people are not able to add 1 + 1. Are you that brainwashed?
No. Yeah, unfortunately.
You know, to ignore this is just something that is just crazy. I mean, they lost their minds over Nixon, you know, however many minutes on his tapes. And you're going to say that this isn't equal to, if not worse than what he did? Come on. Come on. Crazy proof. But
so Heather, did you want to come next Wednesday or tomorrow for a little bit and meet my St. George co-host?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Which one?
You're talking about tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
Okay, because next one. Next week is my birthday. Let's do Thursday. I can pop on. Probably a little
bit
later.
Wednesday she's on. So Thursday is V, and she's my crypto expert.
Oh yeah, so tomorrow.
I was trying to get you to meet my St. George person on Wednesday.
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'll pop in for maybe like 20, 25 minutes.
What, tomorrow?
Yeah, count me in.
Okay. Sounds good.
I look forward to it.
All right, well, we just got the 90-second buzzer, so I get to wind this down.
Here we go. Thanks for having me.
Hey,
Vito,
we'll talk later on this week. And you were worried about not having enough topics tonight, Heather.
Say that again?
No, I just said you were worried about not having enough topics. We covered the show just fine.
Yeah, I think we discovered, you know, we talked about a lot of stuff and great discussion. And you know, even though there were some different views, I think that's really important. So... grateful for tonight. I think it was great.
Thank you, Heather. Please check out the other shows on the network. It's not just the negative show here. But until tomorrow, hold on to the handrail. Keep hope alive. Remember, only you can prevent this virus. I am Negative, and I am